Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chav Zayin, the 27th chapter of the second book of Divrei Hayomim. Our Perek is only 9 psukim long and it refers to the king Yotam. Yotam is the next king of Israel, of Yehuda in the south, which has been our focus over here. He is the son of Uzziah HaMelech, and we know that he has taken power during the reign of his father as a shofet, as a judge, because his father was contracted tzaraas at the end of his rule. Now, we hear about this also in Melachim. A parallel parasha is in Melachim Beis, Perek Tezvav, the last few psukim there. But here we have a little more detail, although it isn't so much altogether. Our introduction is the first two psukim in our Perek, in which we hear that he was 25 years old when he took the kingship, and he ruled for Vesheshesrei, 16 years. He ruled in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yerusha, the daughter of Tzadok. And we're told that he does the Yashar, that which is upright, that which is straight in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like his father did as well. But Rak Lebo El HaHecha Hashem, he did not come to the temple of Hashem, to the Migdash, V'Oda Am Mashchisim, the people were still doing destructive behaviors. So a few basic questions over here. What does it mean that he didn't go to the Migdash? So the Mitzvot points out, well, his father was good, but the one mistake that his father made was that he felt that he had deserved Kohuna Gedolah, that he deserved to be a Kohen as well as the king, and he went to the base of Migdash, which is what brought about the Tzaraas upon him. So what's being contrasted over here is that Yotam was a great king. He did that which was upright in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't go in, he didn't reach for the Kohuna as well. That's the contrast which is being described here. The question is, what does it mean when it says the people were mashchisim, the people were being destructive? So the Malbim explains that they were still offering korbanos on bamos, they were still sacrificing to Hashem, but in a way which was in their own private quarters. The Radak actually connects these two ideas, which meant the following. He saw that his father got punished terribly because he reached for the kohuna and went into the kodesh. So he was exceptionally careful never to enter the precinct of the Beis Hamikdash. But the collateral effect of that was that people saw that and said, oh, so the Migdash isn't all that important, so we will continue to sacrifice in our own backyard bamos. Meaning to say, his rectification was in the opposite extreme of his father, but that itself had collateral damage, which was the validation of korbanos being brought outside of the Beis Migdash. A very sad, you know, sometimes when you have to bend the paper the opposite direction in order to get it straight, it also has a collateral effect when there's side effects of the medication being taken, and that's the medication of being careful about the Beis Hamikdash over here as well. We now hear about the actual legacy of Yotam himself, which is that he builds the Shar Beis Hashem HaElyon, the upper gate of by the Migdash, by the king's palace, and he builds the Chomas HaOfel, which is a particular area he built, and we hear about the cities he built in Judea, and we hear about Birionios and Migdolim and all these towers and protective areas. He fought the Bnei Amon, that's on the east side of the Jordan, and in fact he places a tremendous tax upon them. Mea Kikar Kesef, Aseres Alafim Korim Chitim. We hear about an amazing amount of money that they are left to pay him in response, and they return it to him in the first, second, and third year. So this is obviously a very successful military campaign as well, and we're told the narrative of Tanakh is that he becomes strong because he prepared his ways in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Few basic questions. What tower is he building over here? The Shar Beis Hashem. So the Mitzvah points out it refers to one of the many fortifications of Yerushalayim which had been destroyed in the past that he rebuilt. However, the Chiddush said it could be metaphoric, meaning he's building the connection of the conduit of the Shechinah, of Hashem's presence in Israel. That conduit from the upper celestial spheres to the lower spheres, that is what he built. He built the connection that needed to be rebuilt again between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael as well. Why is he fighting Ammon in this particular section? So the Malbim points out that Ammon, like many of the other easterly nations which had previously been under the control of Israel, had fought back for its own independence, and this was essentially Yehuda putting them back under his thumb and actually demanding back taxes for the years that they did not pay the taxes to Judea. Finally, we hear the conclusion, the last three psukim, Zion to Tess, in which we hear that the rest of his words and his legacy are actually placed in the book of Malchi, Yisrael, and Yehuda. And we know, and again it repeats, that he was 25 years when he assumed the throne, and 16 years was when he ruled. And when he passes away, he was buried Be'ir David, in the city of David, and his son Achaz takes his place. Just a few basic points is, why does it repeat? The pasuk Ches is really essentially a repetition of the first pasuk in this perek, that it describes how long and how old he was. So the Malbim explains, because the north considered him a king earlier on, from the time that he assumed, we'll call the governor, a role over Judea when his father had Saras, but the Tanakh is emphasizing that it was specifically the time he was actually a king, the 16 years we're referring to, but he really, technically speaking, he had a little more than that. The Dat Nekra points out that we know that in other aspects of Tanakh, we know that in Tehillim, for an example, any mizmor which begins and ends with Ashrei is especially dear to David HaMelech, and he pointed out that that rule might be extended across Tanakh. So when you see a parasha which refers to the beginning and the end in the same way, it may be referring to something which is especially dear, which relates to a very important Rashi in this perek, which quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, quoting Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says a very powerful thing. And it says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that if Avraham Avinu would receive all the sins of all the generations until me, I would receive all the rest of the sins. And if Yotam ben Uziyahu was with me, we could receive all the sins till the end of the generations. Which means to say, if you're to take these preeminent leaders throughout the course of Jewish history, and they were to bear on their shoulders the sins, we could help the Jewish people survive. And the person he chose in Tanakh was Avraham Avinu and Yotam ben Uziyahu, our king. Why? So the Gemara goes on to explain that if you look at all the kings, there's a sin attributed to them. David, who had the son of Uriah Hitti. Shlomo, the many wives he married. Rechavam, because he left the Torah of Hashem. Aviah, he went in the ways of his father. Asa, gathered too much gold and silver to his coffers. Yehoshaphat joined with Ahab. Yehoram killed his brothers. Ahaziah, his mother gave him bad advice to do many evil things. Yoash killed Zechariah the coin. Amatziah bowed down to the Psilei Seir, as we saw beforehand. Uziah, his father, went into the temple and recontracted Saras. That's all up till Yotam. After Yotam, Ahaz, his son, goes in the ways of the Malchi Yisrael. We're going to see next parak. Chizkiah got arrogant at the end of his life. Manasseh did terrible things of Azariah. Yoshiel didn't listen to the prophet of Hashem. Didn't listen to Yirmiyahu, and Zedekiah didn't listen to Eliyahu and Yirmiyahu as well. Meaning to say, you go through all the Malchei Yehuda, there's always a problem, says Rashi. However, when it comes to Yotam, he's the singular one that there is no problem, which is why he is so special, which is why he is unique and can bear the sins of all of Israel. A totally pure king. It's interesting, why is that he dies after such a short period of time? It's a pretty short reign, 16 years. He starts at the age of 25, and 16 years later, we're talking about 41 years old. That's not an extremely long life. So there is one interesting additional fact about this perek, which is mentioned in, referenced in Melachim Bey's Perek Tezvov, in Pasuk Lamed Vov, and that is that during the days of Yotam, there was a northern alliance between Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Romaliah, who was the king of Yehuda, Yisrael at the time, who made an alliance and started to create problems in the north for Yehuda. And the Malbarba now points out that this did not happen now. It wasn't that the war broke out right now, but it's starting to brew. The pot is starting to boil. That's when the problems are starting. And so perhaps one might say that Yotam was taken before all this terrible unfolding precipitation can occur, before this terrible war in the north is about to happen. Yotam lives a pure life, lives a good life, lives a strong life, and before, unfortunately, we get into the next era, which is the era of his son, Achaz, which is altogether another story. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.